Thank you for joining us for our Bible study, another time in the Word of God, another hour to dig into God's Word and to keep the Word of God going into us through our ears, through our eyes, into our heart, so that we're empowered, so we know, we receive from Him instructions, we receive from Him assurances, and our hearts are established on His promises. The Bible says that the heart of the righteous is established on the Word of God, and is established by grace. It's not established on natural things. It's not moved back and forth, to and fro, by everything going on around it, but it is established on the Word of God. And so because it is established on the Word of God, it is fixed. I'm very excited to have us come together and to get into the Word of God again tonight. Wherever you are joining us, whatever, wherever you are in the world, whatever platform you are joining us on our website, YouTube, Facebook, or even on the conference line, I know that there is no limit in the Spirit. Technology is a blessing, but sometimes technology is limited. But praise God, the power of God is never limited. So I'm very excited that we can all get together around the Word of God tonight. I want us to share a brief word of prayer before we get going. So please bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight, and I bless you for the opportunity to come together with my brothers and my sisters from different parts of our universe tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given to us to be able to gather around your word. The Bible says, Lord, that heaven and earth will pass away, but not a jot of your word will go unfulfilled. So, Father, it's our joy and it's our confidence to build our lives on your word, not on circumstances, whether it's good or bad, whether times are high or low, whether we feel great or we don't feel so great. No, but God, that our confidence and our faith and our assurance is built on your word. So Lord, open our eyes tonight so that we can receive. We trust you, Father. We look up to the Holy Spirit, precious Holy Spirit. Have your way. Move freely in our hearts. Move freely through these media platforms and cause there to be a powerful supernatural transmission and transmittal of your word into the lives of your people tonight. Father, we pray just regarding everything going on with COVID-19. We know that the entire world almost seems stopped by this pandemic. But Lord, we look up to you. We trust you. Lord, you will continue to shield your people, to protect your people. We pray, Father, for those that are affected all over this nation and all over the world, that God, you be merciful to them. Father God, that you cause your hands to rest upon them. We pray, Father, for those that are on the front lines, our health professionals, our medical people, whether they're doctors, nurses, support staff, or just even people, administrators, people that are making things work together in this season, and then so many other categories, people who help them get to where they're going, people in transportation, people in government, all of those different people who are serving at this time. We pray, God, that you will shield them, that you protect them, that your hands will be upon them. Lord, I pray especially for your people, everyone that is connected with us, for those that are under the sound of my voice tonight, and our families, and everyone that is connected with us in the things of the Spirit, in the things of the natural. Father God, that your hands will be upon their lives, that you will keep them through this season, you will perform your good word in their lives, Father, and you will bring us through this. As a good shepherd, you've promised that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil because you are with us, and your rod and your staff will comfort us. You will bring us through it, and when we come out on the other side, we'll be in a better place. We thank you, Father. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Welcome again, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm very excited at the opportunity, and I know that I do have I do have a word from the Lord. I want us to get back into what we were sharing, ministering on last Wednesday, but I also want to complete part of what I was ministering on Sunday. But let me just say this to you. You know, today is the 1st of April. It's not April Fool. Today is the 1st of April. We just got done with the first quarter of the year, the first 3 months of the year. Now, we're launching into a new season. I want to encourage you, in spite of everything that is going on in the world, make April your season of praise. Make April your season of praise. I believe that is a word from the Lord. He put that very strongly in my heart. And I'm going to talk more about that on Sunday during our Palm Sunday service. But tonight, I just want to say, make April your month and season of praise, and God will do wonders in your life. Make April your month and season of praise, and God will do wonders in your life. Someone says, oh, but I don't know, how can I praise God with all of this craziness going on around the world? Well, I don't know what is going to continue to happen in the world, but I do know that praise, when you keep your garment of praise on, it gives God the ability to work in your life, to work in my life. The Lord says He'll do wonders in our midst. He'll keep His people. He'll do amazing things in the lives of His children if we will keep on our garment of praise. In fact, I want to say it a little bit bolder, and I want to challenge you to praise God more than you have ever praised Him this month. I want you to praise Him more than you have ever praised Him in this month of April. Make April your month and your season of praise. I want to take you to another level. Praise God more than you pray to God this month. Praise God. I know we've been praying. I know all over the world and all over the body of Christ, everybody talks about sending up prayers, and everybody talks about how we need to pray and how we need to pray. To be quite honest with you, I think a lot of our praying was done long before this situation started. Doesn't mean that we don't continue to pray, but we already prayed even without knowing about it. We already prayed about how the Lord will carry us through this, how the Lord will watch over us, and He will protect us, and all of that. Wherever you are, I hope you took time to pray at the beginning of the year. We did. We spent good quality time praying. So a lot of that deposit, and even if you did not, that's good. We covered you in some of our praying as well. So I just want to challenge you. This is not a time for crying. It's not a time for running helter-skelter, trying to... And I know there's so much fear. I'm not trying to diminish or to downplay the seriousness and the gravity of the situation that is going on around the world. But I just want you to know that there is something that is higher. There is something that is greater than the opposition of the enemy, than the assault of the enemy. And that is praise. Praise will guarantee your victory. Praise will put you over. So as we continue to dig into the Word of God on the covenant, I encourage you, make April your month and your season of praise, and the Lord will do wonders in your life. Actually, before I go into our main teaching for tonight, I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 61. That's the word the Lord gave to me. Isaiah chapter 61, he says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Look at that. He says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. I know there's a lot of mourning for good reason, but to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Now, as we put on that garment of praise, and as we continue to engage the Lord and engage with the promises that He has given to us. Remember, some believers think you praise when things are going good. Or some believers think, oh, praise is very powerful when we can come together as a church. But actually, the most powerful praise is the praise that you can do with everything within you. Like David said, I bless the Lord with everything within me. He was speaking to himself and said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's really the most powerful praise for you. Now, I know there is something about corporate praise when we all come together as believers. But even when we can't be together as a church, even when we can't gather like we usually like to, your praise is a potent weapon. Remember that Paul and Silas in the prison didn't have the church around them. The church was out there somewhere praying for them, but they were in this lonely prison with their backs bleeding. And yet, what did they choose to do? They chose to praise the Lord. And because they chose to praise the Lord did wonders in their life. So I encourage you to put on that garment of praise and to continue to flood your environment. Put on praise music, even when you don't feel like it. Remember, praise isn't just powerful when we do it with other people. Praise is powerful when we do it from everything, with everything that is within us. I know there are also some other believers who think, well, you know, I praise when I feel like it. I praise when I feel good. No, praise is actually most powerful when it is a sacrifice. And I trust God that we'll get more opportunities to talk about it. Tonight, I just wanted to leave you with that word first before going into anything else, because I believe that is what we should be doing in this season. We should be doing a lot of praising God, a lot of lifting Him up, and a lot of blessing His name. And as we do that, He will do wonders in our lives. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, of course, as we praise Him, He said in verse 4, they will build the old waste places. They will raise up the former desolations. They will repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. That's what God is going to do through us as we put on the garment of praise. Without knowing it, we'll be building. Without knowing it, we'll be repairing. Without knowing it, we'll be restructuring. And without knowing it, we'll be turning the hands and the assault of the enemy the other way around. So praise the Lord and keep your praise up. Keep that garment of praise on yourself, in your family, in your home, and the Lord will do wonders in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, let's I'm going to do a very short review from last Wednesday, and then I want to finish up what I was ministering in our last service here in Abundant Life on Sunday, talking about the protection plan, the guaranteed protection plan that our Good Shepherd has for us. But last Wednesday, we started talking about our covenant defense against COVID-19 and against every assault of the enemy. And I remember saying that our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense against every assault of the enemy that is set against our lives. Our covenant with Jehovah God is our defense against the assault of COVID-19 and every other assault of the enemy that is set against our lives. We started out by talking about Noah, how the Lord told him that his covenant was actually his ark. That covenant was the defense and the protection and the guarantee that he would get through the assault of the flood. And long before the flood came, the Lord gave Noah the plan. He told him, I want you to build this ark. And he told him, gave him the dimensions and the specifications of the ark. And then he told him, I want you and your wife and your sons and their wives and their children, every one of you get in that ark. And then take animals, a pair of each species and things like that. And, you know, after they obeyed God, the rain started, the flood started. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights nonstop. But it took 5 months, 150 days, for that assault of that flood to be abated upon the earth. And through that entire period, Noah and his family were kept. I don't know how long the assault, the current assault that the world is experiencing is going to last. It seems like it gets worse every day. In fact, I think I heard on the news, or yes, in the news conference yesterday, that April is supposed to be the most deadly month, that will not be for you, and that will not be for me. Hallelujah. April will be our month of praise. It will not be a deadly month for us. It will be our month of praise. Amen. So the covenant, our covenant with Jehovah God, is our defense against the assaults of COVID-19. Now, we talked about the three aspects and the three levels of that covenant. That the covenant is our defense, number one. Number two, that the covenant is our redemption. And number three, that the covenant is our covering, our advantage, our covering, our advantage. And I know that we talked a lot extensively about the first two, and I'm not going to go over all those scriptures. We went through them last week. We have them recorded. So just if you need to hear that message again, I've heard it again maybe twice already. To have it consolidated within my spirit. I've gone through those scriptures again, and I'm very encouraged and very strengthened by the words that the Lord gave to us in that teaching last Wednesday. It is our defense. And you saw that in Exodus chapter 12, when he told them, put the blood on the lintel of your home. And he said, this will be a token. And we talked about all the different things that that word token oath means. In the original, it's your miraculous sign. It's your wonder. It's your banner. It's your witness. It's your proof. It's the pledge of God to you and on like that. So the covenant is our defense. But then we also talked about the covenant is our redemption. And we read from Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14, where it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we know that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We explained that we defined what redemption is. Redemption is an exchange, that Jesus took our place so that we could take his place. And I know that we talked about the three aspects of the curse of the law. Right? The curse of the law implies three major things. It implies the dominion of sin on mankind. It implies the dominion of poverty on mankind. It implies the dominion of sickness on mankind. But when Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law and took our place on the cross by becoming a curse, the Bible says he broke that dominion of sin over our lives. He himself became sin for us. He also broke the dominion of sickness. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was placed upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. Not we are going to be healed, but we were healed. That price was already paid. The redemption plan of God saw to it that long before any of these situations will come in our lives, Jesus already paid the price for us. And then poverty, the Bible says that he was rich, but he became poor so that through his poverty, we may become rich. Amen. And that means he guarantees our supplies. He guarantees. It is amazing what God's definition of rich is. It's amazing how it's different from the world's definition. Sometimes as human beings, you know, we feel more secure if, for instance, there's an assurance of some provision coming from someplace that is guaranteed. And that is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, there would also be times in our lives when that natural guarantee may not be there. And yet, the law would have already led us, long before we get to that point, the law would have led us to places in ways where he himself guarantees our provision. That's why it's very important. I know somewhere along this journey, as we talk about the different aspects of what the Good Shepherd does in our lives, we'll talk about how he provides for his people. But he's taking on our curse of poverty and then transmitting to us the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham, where he guarantees that we will be supplied, we will be taken care of, even in the time of famine. The Bible says he will take care of us. He says we will not see evil when it comes. So child of God, I just want to encourage you wherever you have heard a lot of stories and a lot of our people have heard from some of our ministers who are out in the field and in the rural areas and some of those places. And they've shared with me the difficulties and the challenges and things like that. I know all over the world, I have interacted in the last 1 week with people from different continents. And I've heard a lot of reports and different things that different people are going through. But I just want you to know, no matter what is happening around us, it does not change the word of God. It does not change the integrity of the word of God. The Lord will provide for you. What you cannot afford to do, though, is to have your confidence in the natural things. Have your confidence in man. Have your confidence in government. Have your confidence in human provision. Not that God can use all those things. He does use them. But our confidence, our trust cannot be in those things. Our trust must be in God. As a matter of fact, I wasn't planning to do this tonight, but I'm sensing the Holy Spirit wants me to read that. I'm going to read that to you. You probably know this scripture in Jeremiah chapter 17. You probably know it, but I'm still going to read it anyway. Jeremiah chapter 17 from verse 5. Look at what it says. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusts in man, and that makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord." He says, "For he will be like a heath in the desert, and he will not see when good comes. But he will inhabit the parched places of the in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited." But he says, "Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is." The Amplified Bible says, "Whose hope and whose confidence the Lord is." He says, "This man or woman will be as a tree that is planted by the waters, that spreads out her roots by the rivers, and will not see when the heat cometh." So there is heat. The Bible is not denying the reality of heat, but it's saying that this blessed man and woman whose confidence and hope is in the Lord, they will not see it. What does it mean they won't see it? It means it will not touch them. It means it will not devour them. Yes, they will see it in the natural, but they will not see it in their lives. It will not affect them. It will not take them over. He says, "But their leaves will be green. They will not be careful or anxious or troubled in the year of drought, and they will not cease from yielding fruit." So let me just, before I leave that, I'm going to move on to what some of what I needed to finish up tonight. I want to encourage you very strongly. Put your hope, your confidence in Jehovah God. He will supply your needs. I don't know how he's going to do it. You know, there will be miracles that are outstanding miracles that different people will experience in different parts of the world in this season. For somebody, it might be somebody remembered you, just said, I got you this bag of rice. I got you this bag of rice. You may not look at that as like a big, big miracle. But let me tell you, that bag of rice can actually feed you for many days. Or somebody can say, "Oh, well, you know what? I just got you this jar of oil. I just got you this jar of oil." Or somebody else might get some check in the mail that they didn't even think that they were going to get. Somebody else might get a call and somebody may say, "I just deposited some money in your account." I mean, all sorts of miracles. I don't want you to limit God in this season. I don't want you to limit God. I want you to believe that the word of God will come to pass in your life. I know certainly as we continue to do the work and continue to pursue the assignment that the Lord gave to us, follow every instruction that he gave to us, there is no concern, there is no fear. But I remember that maybe a week or two after this whole COVID-19 started and all of the assaults and all the different things going on, I mean, there are questions, you know, in the ministry, we have needs, just like human beings have needs. There are people we want to help. There are people all over the world that our heart is that we've made commitments to. Some of those people are suffering more today than they were suffering before COVID-19 started. And I'll never forget how blessed I was one morning when I got word, I got a report that one of our partners sent us $1,000 right in the midst of COVID-19. I almost could not believe my ears. I thought, wow, yes. They said, yes, they sent $1,000. And you know what? That $1,000 was almost like $1 million in my heart when I received that news. Not a dime of it came to us personally. There's just so many needs out there, so many needs, way beyond the shores of our country. So many needs. And you know what? In this time of difficulty is the easiest time for people to forget those who are really suffering, those who are really needy. This is a time when most people want to, I didn't plan most of what I'm saying tonight. I think the Holy Spirit wants me to preach this, wants me to minister along these lines. You know, it's very easy to not give. You know, in these times, very easy to want to conserve it and want to hold it, and we want to plan for the rainy day. But remember, when Elijah showed up, God said to Elijah, "Say, I commanded a widow woman, a Shunammite woman. I commanded that woman in Zarephath, the widow in Zarephath. I've commanded her to sustain you." Now, when Elijah shows up in Zarephath and he saw this woman. Says, "Hey, go get me a cup of water." She went and said, "Well, you know what? Actually, make me some bread." And the woman said, "I have nothing. All I have left is this little that I'm going to use to make food for myself and my son, and then we will die." Elijah said, "No, you will not die. Make me that bread first." That's what he said to her. "Make me the bread first." See, that's strange. Sounds strange in a time of famine to say to someone, "Give me your last blessing. Give me your last seed. Give me what you have been keeping in your account for the rainy day. Give it to me." Well, but that's what the Lord said. It wasn't Elijah. If it was Elijah trying to use his authority on the woman, that would have been wrong. That would have been abusive. But it was the Lord. The Lord put it on that woman's heart. And when Elijah proposed it to her, she said, "Okay, I trust God and I'm going to do it." And she did it. And the Bible says because of that act of obedience, she and her son were sustained right through that famine. Do you know, the Bible says the generous man and woman, they are always looking for ways. They devise generous things, and by their generosity, they are established. I think that's in Isaiah chapter 32. I'm not sure if it's verse 8 or something. But it says the liberal man, the generous man, devises liberal things, generous things, and by their generosity, they are established. By their liberality, they are established. So this is not a time, all my time is gone and I haven't preached my message tonight. I promised I was going to stay in the Holy Spirit and I was only going to minister whatever he gave me. So here we go. Hallelujah. So don't fall into that trap. Like, oh, I'm going to keep my offering. I'm going to keep my pledge. I'm going to keep all these things that I thought I was going to give. Where you never know what's going to come. Don't think like that. See, that scripture I just read to you in Jeremiah 17 demonstrates where your trust is by what you do. If your trust is in the Lord, then obey God. If the Lord tells you, yes, keep this, then keep it. If the Lord says, keep this amount, then keep this amount. If you get something, the Lord says, keep the whole thing, then keep the whole thing. Obey him. Trust him. If the Lord says, give a part of it away, then give a part of it away. If the Lord says, give everything away, like he said to that widow, that Zarephath woman, do it in faith. But don't do it out of fear. Don't do it out of anxiety. Don't do it out of condemnation. Do it in faith. But remember, let your giving keep on going. Let your sowing of seeds keep on going. The world, the body, the church, the kingdom needs all the resources that it can get at this time. So don't hold back your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't say, and if I don't know if there is any pastor or any minister or someone who might be joining us tonight. I don't know if there's someone like that who leads people or whatever. Don't be anxious. Don't put pressure on people like, well, if you don't give to us, we will go down. No, you will not go down. The Lord will sustain you. But obey him, trust God, and he will fulfill his word in your life. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's move right on. So we all of that, how I got into that rabbit trail, Holy Spirit led rabbit trail, was through talking about Jesus became our redemption. The covenant is our redemption. The Bible says he himself, even though he was rich, he became poor so that by his poverty, we may become rich. Hallelujah. I believe that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. I think that's that scripture right there. So hold on to that word. That redemption covenant is working for you. No matter how this, you may say, oh, well, a man of God, I lost my job. Okay, I understand that. You lost your job, but you didn't lose your source. You lost your job, but you did not lose your source. Jehovah Jireh is still your source. Hallelujah. And even in the midst of famine, even in the midst of plenty, he will meet your needs. He will supply your needs. He will surprise you. He will bless you. I can hardly wait to get into talking about provision and how Jehovah Jireh supplies all of our needs. But tonight, let's go right back here. And I want to close out my last half hour here. And go back and try to finish up what we were ministering on Sunday. We were talking about my good shepherd, and we were talking about his guaranteed protection for his sheep. And I believe that where I left it off, I was talking about the three things that guarantee his protection. And I said that the first one is his presence. His presence guarantees your protection. Remember, he said in Exodus chapter 33, I think it's verse 11, sorry, verse 14. Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And of course, in Isaiah chapter 43, from verse 1, I think all the way down to verse 5, he talks about, I will be with you. If you go through the river, when you go through the rivers, I will be there. When you go through the fire, I will be there. I will be with you, and on and on like that. And of course, in Psalm 23, remember in that when David said, even yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So the first guarantee of protection that the Lord has for the believer is the guarantee through his presence. As long as the Lord is with you, as long as the Lord is with you, he will take care of you. He will protect you. There's no devil that can touch God. You know, the Bible says you are the apple of God's eyes. So for the enemy to touch you, he has to poke. He has to stick his finger in the eye of God. He can't do that. He can't touch you. The Bible says our lives are hidden in Christ in God. Look at that. Someone used a coconut to describe. I don't think coconut is a very popular fruit all over the world. But for those of you who know what that coconut is, you know that coconut has this hard shell on the outside. Then it has the inner membrane that is the one that we usually eat. And then it has that water inside the inner membrane, right? That water inside that coconut, and I understand people use it for different things in different cultures. That water is like you. It's like you and I. And that inner membrane is like Jesus. And that outer hard covering is like God. So for someone to reach that water inside that coconut, they have to break the shell on the outside. You have to break that shell, then you have to dig through that inner membrane for somebody to be able to touch you. The devil can't do that. So his presence guarantees our protection. The second thing that guarantees our protection is his covenant. Of course, his covenant is what we have been talking a lot about. And, I can't read this because of time, but in 1 Samuel 17, 26 and 36, you can check it out later on. You remember when David showed up and he was talking to King Saul, and he was talking first to the armies who were all, the soldiers who were all hiding from Goliath. He asked them, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And what will the king do for anyone who kills this uncircumcised? That's the way he described Goliath. Why did he describe him that way? As a way to distinguish between him, a covenant person, And that man out there who has no covenant with God, he called him uncircumcised Philistine. All he was saying in essence was that man who has no covenant with God. The covenant that the Lord has with you as a child of God is that assurance, is the assurance that he has provided protection for you, that he will be a covering over your life. Now, what is his covenant based on? His covenant is based on his love. The Bible says he has loved us with an everlasting love. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think it is, chapter 7, verse 6 to 9. Actually, let's go read that, because I want to read that one. I think that one's really, it's really essential that we read that. Deuteronomy chapter 7, let's read from verse 6 to 9 here. Look at what he says. He says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people." He says, "But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, that's why the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand, and he has redeemed you." I love it. That's that word we were talking about earlier. "He has redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." He says, "Know therefore," verse 9, "that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant," "and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations." So the covenant that the Lord has with you is the second guarantee that assures us he will protect you. Of course, in the book of Isaiah, we read this scripture, I believe we did last Wednesday, Isaiah 54. If we didn't read it last Wednesday, I'm sure we read it sometime. I can't remember exactly when. But Isaiah chapter 54, you remember that scripture in verse 10 where it says, "The mountains will depart, the hills will be removed, but my kindness will not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that has mercy on you." And then in verse 14, he said, "In righteousness you will be established, you will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. Say, behold, surely they will gather, but not by me. Whosoever will gather together against you will fall for your sake." All of that is because of his covenant. And then, of course, in the last verse there, it says, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord." So the covenant that Jehovah God has with us, his people, is the second guarantee of our protection. Is the second guarantee. Remember always, like we said earlier, the Ark of Noah. The Ark of Noah represented, it depicts the covenant that God had with Noah. He himself said it in Genesis chapter 6, I believe that's verse 17 and 18. He said, "This ark represents my covenant." So we can relate with the covenant as the ark of safety, the ark of protection that the Lord has for us. If you have a covenant with Jehovah God, if you have a sound, living, breathing covenant with Jehovah God, your protection is guaranteed. You may be right there. You may be right there in the midst of war. A precious brother shared with me earlier today, told me stories of how the Lord delivered them near accidents, near destruction, things that were even other people had experienced, people that were close to him had experienced something similar and had died as a result of it. The Lord carried him through it. The Lord protected him through it. And that's the way the Lord will do you. That's the way he will do me. The Lord will carry us. His covenant with us is a different. Look at the Lord said to Moses, he said, "You are a special people unto me." You remember what he said? He said, "You are a special people unto me." He said, "Above all the peoples of the earth." And if you read in Isaiah 43, he said, "I will give Egypt for you. I will give Seba for you. I will give men in exchange for your life." It doesn't mean that the lives of those people are not important. important to God. It just simply means when it comes to his covenant, you are in the hollow of his hands. You are the apple of his eyes. You are precious to him. And anyone who has a covenant with Jehovah God is number one priority for Jehovah God. So your covenant puts you in a place that ordinary people cannot even dream of living in. Your covenant puts you in a situation where ordinary average people cannot even dream of. It's not because those people are not important to the Lord. No, it's because you are precious to him by virtue of your covenant with him. I mean, this is borne out right through scripture, right? I mean, think about it. In the land of Egypt, how come all those firstborns died of the Egyptians? How come they all died? And the Lord protected his people. How come that happened? How come every one of those stories we read in the Old Testament, when Moses was taking the children of Israel and leading them out through the wilderness, how come many of these people perished? The story of David and Goliath. How come Goliath became a dinner for the birds that night, and David was sustained by the covenant of God? It's because the covenant makes a difference between God's people and those who are not God's people. It's just simple fact. You see that too in the New Testament. The Bible says you are a special people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are called to manifest the praise of God. Don't ever compare yourself to people who don't have a covenant with God. You have a different case. You have a different story. You have a different destiny. Your covenant marks you out as different. Hallelujah. A covenant person in any situation of life becomes an immediate target of God's affection. Just because you are there, just because you are a child of God and you are a child of God's covenant, no matter what the situation is in life, you become a target of God's affection. He is sworn with an oath to keep you. He is sworn with an oath to carry you. He is sworn with an oath to cover you. So don't look at yourself. Don't talk about yourself. Yes, you may see things happening to everybody, but have you read Psalm 91 lately? He said, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 on your right side. He said, but they will not come near you. He said, only with your eyes you will see the reward. You will behold the reward of the wicked. He said, you will be far from oppression. In righteousness you will be established. Isaiah 54. That is the inheritance. That is the heritage of God's covenant people. My friend, you are no ordinary man. You are no ordinary woman. You are God's precious child, God's precious possession. You belong to God. You remember we read that scripture last week when Paul told those people, they were all in the midst of a shipwreck and the angel of God came and visited him in the night in Acts chapter 27. And Paul rose up and he told them, he said, the angel of God, the angel of the God whose I am, the angel of the God whose I am, whom I serve, is in essence telling them, I belong to God, so nothing is going to go wrong with our lives here. On account of my covenant with God, he will keep us. Do you know, because you are a child of covenant, God can save your family? God can deliver your family? Do you know, on account of your covenant with God, God can bring prosperity and increase to those that are around you? Do you know, on account of your covenant with God, God can prosper your employers? Do you know that? On account of your covenant with God, God can shield a whole street, a whole community from danger, from destruction, because of your covenant with God. You are special. You are unique. And I want you to have that assurance that your covenant with God marks you out separate. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So that's the second guarantee. And the last guarantee I want to talk about, and I know our time is going, and that's fine. I'm not going to rush you. I'm just going to just stay in this flow as the Holy Spirit allows us to walk through this. Because these are very, very crucial times. It's very important. The Bible says in Daniel, they that know their God, they'll be strong and they will do exploits. These are very important times. These are not times to be guessing about what we believe or what we know. These are times to be sure. We need to be certain. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, you need to have an assurance in your heart. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Wherever you go, wherever, no matter your experience, if you receive something in the mail that looks like bad news, immediately remind yourself, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. That's why that Psalm 23 is so powerful. Because David, it didn't matter what was going on. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I will lack for no good thing. Why? Because he had a covenant with God. He was sure of his covenant with God. I want you to be certain. I don't mean to preach at you. Forgive me. I'm just excited about it. But I want you to be certain. I want you to be sure in your heart that the Lord is with you. You have a covenant with him. That covenant is an equalizer. Your covenant with Jehovah God is an equalizer. That covenant makes you like him. That covenant makes you sit in heavenly places where he's seated. That covenant gives you access to the things of God's glory that he has access to. That covenant puts you in a pedestal. That covenant shields you. That covenant protects you. You know, anybody who tries to touch a child of covenant, they will give their lives for it. Anybody who tries to harm a child of covenant, they will give their lives for it. It's not even because you are doing anything. No, it's because the covenant of God is an equalizer. You know, if something is sent against you, that thing that is sent against you that is not a blessing has to boomerang back, has to be returned to the sender. Why? Because the covenant is an equalizer. Nobody can harm you. Nobody. The Bible says, it says somewhere in the New Testament, who then can do you harm? Who then can do you harm? Nobody. Why? Because the covenant is an equalizer. It's just so strong in my spirit, so strong in my heart, and I'm very passionate about it. And I know about 2 weeks or so ago, I interacted with one of our precious sisters, one of our precious nurses, who was right there. Then she was communicating with me in the either emergency room or in the hospital, where this patient, whether was being diagnosed with COVID-19 or something was happening, and all the medical staff were scared. And that is so, it's so understandable. I mean, look what's going on all over the world. I mean, in Italy, how many medical professionals, people who had no reason to be doing what they were doing, but just because they wanted to save lives, were there. Look at what's going on in places like New York. You know, people who are just looking for a way to help others, and yet, because they're doing that, they get in harm's way themselves. And this precious sister was telling me, you know, they were just about in that room when this person, and all of them were scared, and she told me she's gripped by this fear. You know, fear is a spirit. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for we have not received this. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but we have received a spirit of love, a spirit of sound mind. That's what he gave us. He said he gave us a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of a sound mind. We have boldness. The reason we have that, what the things we experience, truly, there's reason for us to be afraid. Some things we go through in life, truly, if you look at it in the natural, there are reasons for us to be scared. But we are in covenant with Jehovah God. There's no reason to be afraid. We have no reason to be afraid. Do not be afraid. I know sometimes that fear can come on us. Sometimes you may not be a medical professional. You may not be on the front lines. You may not be in any of that. But maybe your job now is at risk. Maybe now you don't know where you're going to feed your family. Maybe you don't know where you're going to pay your next bill. I know. I understand that. I totally understand all the anxieties and all the fears. And you know, sometimes you go out to jog. I go out sometimes to jog. I have to get out. I'm a nature person. I have to go out and jog. I go out to jog sometimes and I just see people. You can see them even gripped by fear, even on the jogging trail. They're on that jogging trail trying to keep fit, but they are gripped by fear because they don't know who the next person, what they are carrying. They have no idea. I totally get it. But I just want you to know that you are in covenant with Almighty God. Doesn't mean you should be careless, but it means you should be confident. Doesn't mean you should be careless, but it means you should be confident. Let me say that one more time. Does not mean you should be careless, but it means you should be confident. So your covenant with him guarantees your protection. And the last one, and I'm going to rush through this just because I want to wrap this up in good time. And I still want to at least mention what our own part is in all this. Because this is the Lord, right? The Lord has made all this provision for us. What's our own part in all of this? All right. The third thing that guarantees our protection is the ministering spirits or angels that have been assigned to us. His ministering spirits or angels that have been assigned to us. Now, for this, you are going to have to write down scriptures. For those of you who can make some time, I encourage you to go read this. God, all of the scriptures will strengthen this word in your heart, right? Now, in Exodus chapter 23, verse 20, 25, and 23. I think I'm going to read that one. I read that one and read one in Hebrews just before I leave this part of it alone. And then I'm going to start trying to wrap up tonight. Exodus, look at Exodus 23. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your covenant. Thank you for your mighty presence. Thank you for giving us your ministering spirit. Exodus 23, look at verse 21, 20, 23, and 25. Verse 20 says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way." Look at that. That's your protection. "I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I have prepared." How do I know we're going to arrive? How do I know that our lives are not just going to be like, you know, just like a happenstance, a coincidence? Because he has given us his ministering spirit. He has given us his angels. You know, all of us know, we've read these Bible stories, little children's Bible stories, where we know little children have their angels before God. Jesus said that. He said their angels are always before God. Right? But you don't lose your angel because you grow old. You don't lose that angel that the Lord gave you now because you are now 40. You are no longer 4. You are 40 now. No. His angels have been assigned to us. They go with us everywhere. They protect us. There are times that, you know, things are aimed against us and they shield us. He said that my angel will keep you in the way and bring you to the place that I prepared. Then look at it in verse 23. He said, "For my angel will go before you, and he will bring you in unto the Amorites." That's the enemy. "My angel will bring you in into the land that is being possessed by your enemy, and he will root them out so that you can have that land. They will not afflict you. They will not damage you. They will not destroy you. But the angel, my ministering spirit that I have assigned to work for you, will carry you, bring you into that land, and drive them out." That's what he says here. "Bring you unto the Amorites, to the Hittites, to the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. By the ministry of my angels," he said, "I will cut them off." So he has assigned his ministering spirits to us. And of course, in the book of Hebrews, just so you don't think this is all Old Testament, it's all old. No, well, look in Hebrews chapter 1. Look in Hebrews chapter 1. He says there, but verse 13, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not," verse 14, "are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Ministering spirits, angels are sent forth to minister for you, to minister for you who is an heir of salvation. Of course, again, you go back to Psalm 91 and you remember what that psalmist said. He said, "No evil will befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling." He said, "For he has given his angels." He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. We just read that in Exodus. He says, "They will bear you up in their arms so that you don't dash your foot against the stone." Because of their work and their ministry to you, you would tread upon the lion. You would tread upon the adder. You would trample down the dragon. You would try all of those things. None of those things will hurt you because of the ministry of angels that surround you. I want you to be sure in that. I want you to be confident in that. That the ministry, the ministry of the angels that have been assigned to you. Don't say, me, I'm too small for God to give me an angel. No, you are not. You are in covenant with him. You are in covenant with him. He has assigned his angels to serve you, to work for you. Here comes this destruction, and you did not know about it, and it was aimed at you, and it was about to hit you, and just like that, you happen to have turned and changed direction at that same time when that thing was supposed to hit you on the head. And some say, oh, that was just luck. That's not luck. The Lord kept you. The Lord kept you. Somebody say, oh, but I don't know why I just felt like turning around. No, you didn't just feel like turning around. God's angel moved you out of the way. He moved you out of the way before that destruction could touch you. Hallelujah. The angels, the ministry of the angels that he has assigned to us guarantee our protection. They are all around us, folks. They are working for us. It's 8:55. I know I got to close. They're all around us. We never seem to have enough time, do we? They're all around us. All around us. Let's close here. You know, remember that story of Elisha? Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6. The king of Syria sent this army against him. He hadn't done anything wrong, but that king just decided, well, he's been telling his story to the prophet or to the king of Israel. So he sent a chariot to go and they camped around where Elisha was, and there was a multitude of chariots, and they were going to hurt him and they were going to harm him. And his servant came out in the middle of the night and saw all these chariots and was so full of fear. And he rushed to his master and said, Master, alas, what shall we do? And the master prayed, Elisha prayed, said, Lord, please open his eyes, open his eyes. And when the Lord opened the man's eyes, he looked, and all around there were multitudes of angels. Multitudes of angels. And Elisha said to him, they that are with us are more than they that are with us. I want you to keep that in your spirit. I'm going to leave you with that tonight. They that are with you are always more than they that are out there with them. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that greater one has surrounded you with his angels. There are more with you. There are more around you than those that are out there. There is more around you than whatever COVID-19 has. There is more that God has made available to you than any assault, any attack, any evil from the world. There's more on our side. There's more on our side. It's a good place to close. So I'm sure I'll find a service maybe next Wednesday or somewhere. It's not going to be Sunday because on Sunday is Palm Sunday. I want us to celebrate the Lord. And I'm going to talk a little bit about praise and all of that on Sunday. But just throw this at you. Fear not, number one. This is what we do. This is what we do to cooperate with his protection plan. Fear not. I'll find a service where I can go through this and actually give you scriptures and actually walk you through the details. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Be confident. That's number one. Number two, speak his word boldly. Speak his word boldly. So when you speak the word, you give the angel something to work with. You express your confidence in God. Speak the word boldly. Number three, remember to use the name of the Lord. Remember to use the name of the Lord. I think it's Psalm 20 that says, you know, some trust in chariots, some, you know, but we will remember the name of. So remember the name of the Lord. Remember the name of Jesus. It's higher than every other name. Remember the covenant names of Jehovah God. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs 18 verse 10. The righteous run into it and they are saved. So remember the name of the Lord. Finally, keep on your garment of praise. Keep on your garment of praise. All of these different things will help you enhance the protection plan that the Lord has guaranteed for your life. Number one, don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear opens the door to the devil. Fear is a spirit. Don't be afraid. Even when there is a reason to fear, shake it off. Shake it off by being confident in God. Remind yourself, the Lord is with me. the Lord is with me. So fear not. Number two, speak the word of God boldly. Declare the word of God. Declare it. Don't pray prayers of fear. In this season, don't be praying, oh God, I don't know how we're going to make it. God, we'll just let your will be done. No, 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 don't do that. Speak the word of God boldly. I like what our confession here says. Boy, it's almost time. I got to close. I like this paragraph from our confession. I will not be silent, but I will boldly declare what thus saith the Lord. His words in my mouth are just as powerful as his words in his own mouth, and they will never return to him but void. God has set before me an open door. No man will ever shut it. Jesus has conquered the world and deprived it of power to stop me. Speak the word of God boldly. Remember, his word in your mouth is just as powerful as his word in his own mouth. So declare it boldly. Amen. Number three, remember to use the name. Remember to use the name. Remember the name of Jesus. Remember the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And finally, number four, keep on your garment of praise. Keep on. Just be full of praise in April. Just be full of praise in April and beyond. Keep on praising. No matter what is going on, keep on praising. Keep on praising. Keep on praising. And the Lord will do wonders in your life. I thank you so much for joining us tonight. I pray that this word will benefit you. I pray that this word will answer for you in the day that you need it. I pray that you be reminded by the Spirit of God, the words that you heard tonight. I pray that you be sure, assured of your protection. I pray that in the days of danger, you will remember. You will remember the words that you heard tonight and you'll put them to work. And the Lord will do wonders in your life. Can I pray with you, please? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, God, for the opportunity to minister your word to your people tonight. Thank you for the grace of God that has been evident. Thank you, God, for giving us supernatural flow in the Spirit. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that has been here. Thank you for clarity, for understanding. Thank you for accuracy of your word. I pray, Lord, let this word not return to you void. As it has been spoken, let it produce in the lives of my brothers and my sisters. I cover them with the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father, we will have every reason to praise you in this season and beyond. This is our season of praise. We will put on our garment of praise. We will praise you like never before. This is not a time for mourning for us. This is not a time for heaviness for us. This is a time to put on praise, and we choose to praise you. We choose to praise you. Have your way in our lives, Father. Keep your people. Keep your people. Perfect everything that concerns them and their families. Establish them in your covenant, O God. Fulfill your word in their very lives. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. I'm excited about what the Lord spoke to us, and I'm looking forward to our next service. Keep the joy of the Lord and stay in praise, and we'll see you soon. In Jesus' name, God bless you and good night.